Tongle to me.
Hey everybody, and welcome to Talk Tongle to Me. I'm your host, Caleb, and this episode on the show, we have someone I'm really excited to talk to. His name's David Brashear. Am I Brashear? I want to make sure I'm pronouncing it right. Is that how you pronounce
close
it?
Close enough, yeah.
Close enough. I'll take it. He's number 7 in production all time on Tongle, and number 37 in ideation. So he's a dual threat of creating and ideating. But David, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, definitely. So I guess tell us a little bit about yourself to start it off. When did you start doing video production? What's your background in film and commercial work?
Sure. So I went to film school at USC. I didn't actually go to USC for film production. It was like critical studies, which is like basically watching movies and then like writing papers about them.
So, yeah.
Which was pretty cool, but
sounds like not a bad way to spend college.
I didn't really use the camera that much in school, though. I mean, I would make like short films and stuff with my friends, like in high school, and I had to take one film production class in college. But I kind of just jumped into the commercial stuff with very little experience, to be honest.
So you graduated with a degree in kind of like film studies more.
Yeah, film theory or film studies.
Yeah. What was your original plan to do, like movie reviews or like just kind of teach or something?
I didn't get into the film production program. I wanted to because
one of
my high school teachers didn't like send in the letter of recommendation. The opportunity came to like switch over to production like halfway through college, but it would have been like staying for an extra year. So I just said, you know,
at that point,
just keep going through with the film theory degree.
Yeah.
In the end, it doesn't really matter because nobody cares about
your degree.
Yeah. Once you get into production, nobody.
Once you have that portfolio, you know, that I think that's definitely more important.
Yeah.
I mean, you have some awesome stuff. How'd you get from graduating with a degree and, you know, not much film experience to how'd you start off?
Yeah, so I got out of film school and then I didn't really know what to do with myself. I don't know. I kind of thought like naively that like once you graduated from college, people would just be like offering you jobs and I quickly
run
out that's
knocking
not
down
the case.
Your door.
Yeah, so I ended up doing a lot of like production assistant stuff. Most of it was like for really bad reality television shows.
How was that?
It sucked. It's just like you're working for like 15 hours a day and you're not getting paid anything. And nobody gives you like any respect. So that wasn't fun. And then
you're in LA at this point, I'm assuming?
Yeah, I stayed in LA.
Okay.
And then I did. I was also like, I would do that. And then on the weekends, I would do like film projection. I worked at a movie theater. And then I got a day job where I was like a office manager for a company called Klasky Chupo, which they're like an animation company. They did Rugrats and
That's kind of cool.
Yeah. At the time that I was working for them, they weren't really doing anything though, so it was kind of just a very
like
boring
post
place
Rugrats
to work at.
Era.
Yeah, like they basically just like churned out like pilot after pilot and like would pitch them to Nickelodeon and they would all get rejected because they were all
nothing going.
But I did that, and then I actually had like a medical emergency. I had to get like my appendix taken out, and I didn't have any health insurance, so I had to end up like moving back home to live with my mom while I kind of got back on my feet. And that's when I kind of got into the film production stuff. So I guess there was a silver lining to an incident.
Yes, you can say.
Yeah, I guess. But it was like I was at home and my dad sent me like an article about like the Doritos Super Bowl thing. He's like, "Oh, you should, you know, enter one of these." And I kind of missed the deadline for that, but then I kind of like researched it and I found that there was like websites that had like commercial contests. And the first one that I entered was one for this website called Pop Tent. I don't know if you're
familiar. Okay, yeah, I've heard of
them. They kind
of... That one...
I think they came and went, you know.
Yeah, I knew they used to be around, and they, like, turned into User Farm or something. Didn't I know some...
Yeah, I kind of got out of them once I found out about Tongle, because I think Tongle is better... better format for creators, but that was the first contest that I entered, and I like, I didn't win, but I got like third place or something. I forget.
Nice.
But it kind of got me thinking, like, oh, okay, maybe I can do this. Like, I made money. Like the commercial, the commercial that I made cost like $50 to make, and you know, I made like 500. So I was just like, oh wow, this is cool. Like I can. Actually, you know, make like a living, but like make some money doing this.
Right. So when was this? Like what year, give or take?
I want to say 2009 or 2010.
Okay.
One of those years. So I kept. Together. Yeah, I've been doing this shit for so long. It's just it's hard to remember, but I did a lot of those pop tent contests, and I didn't win like every time, but it was pretty good, like where I was definitely making money doing it
often enough.
And kind of looking for other websites. So there's like another website called MoFilm that I did a lot of stuff on, and then I found
was Zupa around then.
I don't think I ever did anything for Zupa.
So yeah, because Tongle was made in what, 13 or 12?
I know they were around in 2011 because I think that was the first thing I entered.
Okay. So, yeah, that's what I was going to say. So you've been, I guess you found Tongle pretty early on in the site's creation then.
Yeah, I probably came on there like a year after it was created maybe.
Oh, man.
I remember like at the beginning... I don't know. It wasn't structured very well at the beginning. It kind of seemed like amateurish. But
right. Well, I'm sure they've come so far.
Yeah, they're a startup and stuff. So yeah, I mean,
right.
I'm sure there was like some growing pains, and they had to like, you know, get brands involved in this kind of crazy idea. But
yeah, because at the time, you know, it's hard to get brands to say, okay, here's $100,000 or whatever, you know, however much money.
Yeah, for sure. So, like, the stuff that they had at the very beginning was, like, super low budget. Like, I know, like, I hear idea people, like, complaining now, but it used to be, I think, like, you would win, like, $25 if you won the idea thing. It was pretty low. But, like, that's how I started was, like, with the ideas on that site, because the video contests at the beginning were pretty cheap.
Yeah.
So I just started doing like the ideas, and I think I won like one or two before I did a video on there.
But that almost seems like that would have worked out well for you, like starting with Tongle when the contests were kind of smaller budget, because it's almost as a way to kind of like, you know, ease into, you know, this industry.
Yeah, I think for like the commercial contest industry, like, I think I got in like at the very right time. Like,
yeah.
If you're trying to get into it now, it's got to be really, really tough, because you're competing against people that have been doing it for like in my case, like 6 years, like longer than actually. So
speaking from personal experience, you know, it's definitely intimidating going on some of these pitches and it being, you know, like, you know, some of these awesome, you know, huge production companies that are great people and do great work, but you know, there's one pitch winning, and I'm like, well, I know I'm, you know, not gonna get that or whatever.
Yeah, like I don't even like pitching on this stuff because, like, for me, like most of my stuff is like comedy, and I don't know,
yeah,
for some reason, like at the moment, it doesn't seem like a lot of brands want that.
Mm-hmm.
So like, it's. When you see there's only going to be one pitch winner, and you're like, well, all my stuff is comedy, and they want, like, a documentary style, like, it's like, well, I'm not going to pitch, because I know there's good documentary people. Yeah, there's good documentary people that are on there already that are going to win. So,
right. I have kind of seen that. It seems like there's some, like, people have kind of, yeah, like you were just saying, kind of found almost niches for themselves. Like, there's some people who are great at, you know, just – stop motion. Some people just grade it whatever it may be.
Yeah, and that was something that like somebody told me at a certain point. It was just like focus on one genre because it just kind of confuses people, like, especially like brands when they're just like, well, what does this guy specialize in? Like if you have a bunch of different genres, even if you're like really good at them, it's just tough to kind of sell yourself as like a jack of all trades. They'd rather be like, we're going to get the best comedy director if they're doing a comedy commercial, or we're going to get the best documentary guy if we're doing a documentary.
Huh. That's a cool tip. So what was your first, do you remember what your first win was on Tongo?
Yeah, the first video that I did was the duct tape one, the Ducktrone.
Oh, so that one, yeah, talk a little bit about that.
Yeah, I mean, that one was like, at the time, like the biggest success that I've ever had. And I think probably the only time where I made a video that actually like went viral in any way. Because like, I think the contest like ended, we came in first and we were like happy. And then, you know, as is the case, a lot of times like the brands just kind of, you know, don't really do anything with the videos.
Right.
Like in that case, like I think a month or two had gone by and like the contest had ended and like it wasn't on their website or their Facebook or anything. And like a lot of times like Tong is like, don't put any of the videos like on your website.
Right, they don't, you know, share it. Yeah.
Yeah, and I was just like, this video is like really cool and I'm really proud of it. So we put it like on the website.
Oh no.
And like the next day, like my friend called me up, he's like, dude, the video has like 200,000 views or something. I was like, what the
fuck? Oh my gosh.
And I went on like the Vimeo and like the numbers were just like going crazy. And then it was like trending on Twitter and stuff. And I was like, but I mean, in that case, like no brand is going to be pissed off
if they get 200,000 views on a
podcast. Yeah, exactly. Right. I think they're a little pissed off because it wasn't like on their actual channel.
Right.
But I think that actually like helped it because people were like, "Oh, is this even like a real commercial? Was this like
this
made by fans? Like fan or
made it, right?" Yeah, which sometimes is even more impactful because people, you know, think it's cool.
Yeah, but I. Yeah,
so I will ask.
Nobody was pissed off.
Right. I guess it worked out well.
Definitely wasn't pissed off because, you know, I think that was probably like the first case where like something that they had produced it like really, you know, made a splash in any way.
So if you're listening, you haven't seen this video that David did. It's pretty cool. It's basically if you've seen Tron, like those, you know, racer cars driving and leaving a stream behind. It's like a almost glowing duct tape rolls doing these, you know, kind of battle racer cars. So I will ask, how did you make that effect with the rolls leaving the like trail behind? Because it's vertical.
Well, I had like no, you know, background in stop motion or anything, but I had met these two guys in the Bay Area who were like going to school for stop motion, and like they'd shown me like a short film they'd done. And it was like super awesome, and I was like, we should like work together and do a commercial. And the duct tape project came along, and I was like, yo, I think we can, you know, do something with stop motion with this. And we kind of brainstormed, and like I forget exactly how it happened, but like somebody said like, oh, what if like the tape was like flowing out of the back of the rolls like in Tron? And we were just like, why don't we just like remake that scene from Tron? So we just downloaded the video, like storyboarded it, and just like did a shot for shot recreation.
Wow.
And it just kind of happened naturally. I mean, the amount of like man hours spent on that commercial was like pretty crazy, especially like for the amount of money involved.
Yeah.
Like, I think at this point, like, I'm not as hungry as I was back then, but like at that point, I would, you know, work crazy hours for like no money.
For it. Right.
Yeah.
Huh. And that, so that was a wild card.
I think at that point it was all wild cards. Like, I don't know if they had pitches.
Oh, yeah. To be honest,
I don't think pitches came until later.
Is it just you? Like, is it, or do you have like a production company or team, or is it?
So when I first started, like the duct tape one, this is also like pretty strange and like a little bit weird, but I was basically working for this guy who would like pay me a weekly salary, and all I would do is enter video contests.
What?
And so like none of the budget came out of my pocket. But I didn't get any of the winnings. So
like,
I would just get a certain amount every week. So it was like no risk for me, but also like the reward wasn't as great.
Not much reward. Yeah.
Yeah. But like at the time it was kind of perfect because it really allowed me to like take a lot of risks. Like
when I
look back at the stuff that I made back then, like I was a lot more daring, I would say, than I am now. Because now, like, when I enter a contest, I'm like, well, I got to break even, and I got to, you know, do all this stuff.
Yeah, because if you're getting paid, you're just trying to make some cool videos.
Yeah, that's I'm worried about, like, oh, well, is the brand going to like this? Back then, I was just like, let's just do a Tron, like, reenactment with duct tape. So, yeah, I mean, it was a very strange situation to be in, but...
No, I mean, I think not to pry too much, but that sounds... Was that like a company that like sponsors people, or was it just you found someone?
It was just like... Yeah, without getting into like too much detail,
right,
like,
yeah.
I was like following... like when I moved to the Bay Area, I was like looking for work, and I was like at one point like following around like some tech entrepreneurs, I guess I would say, because they thought their life was interesting and that maybe like there'd be a reality show about them. So they wanted to make like a pilot. So I was like,
oh, I see.
Following them around with cameras and like recording their daily life and stuff. And they were like the ones that kind of invested in me.
Yeah. No,
and
that's
eventually
awesome.
It was me. Cool. And then my friend Nate, who was like, did a lot of the animation. He didn't do the animation for the duct tape one, but we did do a lot of like just strictly like hand-drawn animation stuff.
Yeah.
So,
no, that's awesome. So do you do stuff now outside of Tungle as well, or are you just like, you know, strictly living off Tungle winnings? Or
it's mainly Tungle. I would say 75% of it is Tungle. But yeah, I do stuff outside of it. Like right now, I'm in the Bay Area. I'm helping shoot a documentary for a augmented reality company. So,
oh, whoa, that's pretty cool.
So like other opportunities come up, but like the commercial stuff is usually
through Tungle.
I've had trouble breaking into like the, you know, I guess
corporate or like mainstream, whatever.
Yeah, like where you get like where you're a director and you're repped by a production company and they're putting you out for jobs. Like that's kind of eluded me, I do want to do that, but it's just like I just have had trouble getting into that.
I mean, imagine that's really hard step to, you know, there's only so many directors or whatever. Are you working on anything for Tungle now, or are you in between projects?
I just finished a Splenda thing for them.
Okay, I saw that one. The like all the different people saying they
use
Splenda.
Yeah, which I don't think they've started airing it yet, but it's going to start airing soon.
Okay.
So, yeah, that was the last thing I did. But, I mean, yeah, that was, like, the biggest thing that I've ever done, like, production-wise.
Yeah, so. Splenda's pretty big. Well, you also had the Star Wars Vader one, which, I mean, like I said, I was going through all your stuff, and that one definitely stuck out. Which, if you again, people listen, if you haven't seen it, it's pretty funny, pretty simple. Just some guys ends up eating Darth Vader's Pringles, and Vader comes in and force chokes him. But what was it like making that?
That was really fun because, you know, we worked with like Lucasfilm, and they like put us in contact with like their official like Darth Vader costume guy. Because it has to be like, you know, they have very strict regulations.
Accurate too.
About that. Yeah, you can't just like. Because I thought it was going to be like, okay, we're going to like buy a cheap like Vader
Amazon
costume. And they're like,
yeah.
no, we don't do that. It has to be like official. So that was cool. But I mean, that commercial like was like financially like a huge failure. That was like one of the reasons why I had to stop working with the guys that I was telling you about before, the guys that would like, you know, fund all the commercials, because like that, I think we lost like $5,000 on that or something. Like,
oh, what? Just on on like the production or?
Yeah, like it was kind of like where we spent like a little too much like on like actors and locations and stuff. And I like my reason was like, hey, this is going to be like a very competitive, you know, contest, which it was, and like we kind of have to go all out. But I think I just had the wrong approach. Like, I really like that commercial. I actually get a lot of work from
it. Great.
But I think if when you look at the ones that won, like they're very, you know, big and loud commercials, and that one's kind of like a more understated commercial. And it placed like really low. And then like there's like we had issues where they're like, they told me at a certain point, like, you have to add Star Wars music, and I was like, well, you're just telling me like now in post production, like completely kills like
right, there's no place for
the deadpan humor, you know.
Yeah.
So that's like another reason why I think they didn't like it. But you know, sometimes, you know, stuff that doesn't do well, you know, ends up being, you know, it ends up being a success later on, if, you know, because I mean, I've gotten a lot of jobs out of that.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I don't know. I mean, I love all the stuff on your site, but then I don't know why that one. There's just something about Star Wars, you know, that stands out to people.
Yeah, and I really like the way it looks. And I think that was the first time, like, I rented an Alexa. I was like, I'm gonna go all out and get the Alexa because I love the way it looks. And, yeah.
So is that what you normally shoot on, is Alexa, or do you do like,
I mean,
Reds now?
These days it's all Alexa. But like at the time, like we had never like spent that much on a camera rental.
Right. Very cool. All right, and so I gotta ask, you had the I mean, everyone, it feels like, you know, what the biggest commercial you can ever get is a Super Bowl commercial, and you got a Super Bowl commercial for Speed Stick. How the heck did that happen?
Well, that's kind of an interesting story. I mean, I tried to get a Super Bowl commercial before. I did a Pepsi Max thing with Ernest Borgnine. The previous year, and I was like, for sure, I was like, okay, this is gonna be, they're gonna show this during the Super Bowl. And it was like, you know, a complete failure, in that they didn't show it and it cost like a shit ton of money. So I kind of like gave up hope for the having a Super Bowl commercial.
Super Bowl,
and then,
yeah,
then the next year, I think it was like a week before the Super Bowl, somebody called me up from Speed Stick, and I had done a Speed
They called
Stick.
You directly, like not through Tongle?
Yeah, they called me up directly on my phone. I don't even know how they had my number. And they're like, we want you to ship a hard drive with the project. And we need it like overnight. And I was like, okay, that's weird.
Yeah.
They didn't say anything about Super Bowl at this point. And like this project, the Speed Stick project, I did like the previous summer. And again, I think we came in second or third place for that. And
yeah.
It was kind of like, I don't know if it was a financial failure, but it was like probably just like a break even. And I was just like, well, you know, I just kind of moved on from it. And it was just like so weird that they called up asking for this hard drive.
Right. I mean, luckily you still had all the project files.
Yeah, I had all the files and stuff. So I, you know, copied them over to a hard drive and overnighted it. And the next day they're like, okay, we got it. We got the hard drive. And they kind of were doing like some polishing on it. And they're like, okay, well, we can tell you now that we have the hard drive, which was kind of a shitty thing for them to do, because I think they knew that, like, if they had told me, like, from that
it was going to
like,
be a Super
the get-go, Bowl like, I could be like, well, you're not getting this hard drive unless you pay me a shit ton of money. A
ton more, yeah, which is probably what they, I don't know, should have paid it, but...
Yeah, but they're like, yeah, we're going to air it during the Super Bowl, and I was like, what the... It was completely out of the blue. Like, I don't consider myself like a lucky person, but yeah. Like, that was like the one time in my life where I was like, that's just like pure luck. I can't even explain it. Yeah,
they must have just like, you know, a year later been like, you know, we need a commercial. We have this good one already made. Like, let's use it.
Like, yeah, I guess like I found out later on that it was like the guy that was in charge of like marketing for SpeedStick, or like the CEO of SpeedStick, like he just loved it. He loved the commercial. And, like, I don't think he had seen it until later on. So like maybe that's why it didn't win. We also like I changed like that was like one that we pitched for, and I think I changed like the story like substantially. Like I think originally like the story in the commercial was like a guy shrinks his girlfriend's laundry or something, and I just kind of thought it was boring and kind of cliche, so I changed it up a little bit. But yeah, I mean, that was an amazing experience to.
That's awesome.
Get to see that during the Super Bowl.
So you watched it like in the Super Bowl. You saw it come on the TV.
Yeah, it was the Super Bowl. It was the San Francisco 49ers versus. I think the Ravens. It was like the Super Bowl where they like had a blackout during the game, and it was the blackout happened like right because they kind of tell you beforehand we're going to air it at this point during the game, and it was like right when my commercial was going to get aired, and like part of me was like, okay, it's going to get fucked up somehow. Like they're not going to show the commercial because like they
it's going to black out or whatever.
Yeah, like and it was like weird because like you buy like those Super Bowl spots like. And it's all very structured. And, like, at a certain point, they were, like, repeating commercials, like, as they were going to breaks.
Oh, okay.
And I was like, and I was just like, okay, they're not going to show it. And they did end up showing it. It's pretty crazy.
Nice.
It was,
like, well, that's awesome. Yeah,
kind of surreal.
That is incredible. I bet that was just crazy to watch. Well, that's got to be the goal, then. Just get another Super Bowl commercial.
Yeah, it's easier said than done, but...
Cool. And I'll end on this one because I always like to kind of, you know, I don't know. You've had a lot of success on Tongle and other sites. Do you have any other advice for people who are trying to kind of, you know, make it into, you know, doing what you're doing?
Yeah, I would say just kind of do something. I think if you're just starting out, like it's going to be kind of tough to compete with people that have a lot of money and resources.
Yeah.
So it's about, you know, coming up with like a really creative idea that can kind of, you know, sell your talent that way. Like I would say like the duct tape commercial that I did, like that would be a good thing to start out with now. It's kind of like, you know, a very high concept idea. I don't think it would actually win a commercial contest now, but I think it's like a very crazy out there idea that, you know, didn't cost that much money. It was more just like a time investment. So yeah, it's kind of about thinking smaller and trying to think outside the box and do something memorable. It's hard to say, like, make something go viral because that never works. But
right. Like, if anyone could just do that, then that would. Well, go check out David's stuff, everyone. His clips, his commercials are hilarious. They're all, you know, awesome work. So go check those out. And David, man, I thanks for taking the time to talk with us today.
Yeah, no problem. It's a pleasure.
Tongle to me.